You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices, the law offices of Polsinelli in Washington, D.C. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Phil Fagan, Kristen Jones, and Ann Spiegel from Polsinelli, the law firm in Washington, D.C., the national law firm. And we'd like to introduce, and we're going to get to know Diane Ennis, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Carey International, followed by Constantine Athanas, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, Davis Construction, Jesse Rabin, General Counsel, the Common Application, and finally, last but not least, Robert Lavitt, General Counsel of SoFi. Let's get to know our first guest, Diane Ennis, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Carey International. Diane, what is Carey International? What are you guys doing?
Carey International is a chauffeur transportation company and transportation management company, meaning that we do big events for all the transportation. We've been around for almost 100 years now and still going strong.
How large or how small is the organization?
It's about 800 employees.
And where are you from originally?
Jersey girl, northern New Jersey.
How many brothers and sisters?
Two older brothers.
What'd your two older brothers do to you?
Pretty much beat me up.
So you learned how to be tough a little bit when you had to be tough, huh?
Exactly. I think both physically and also argumentative.
But you also, my bet is that you also figured out how to manage them. Am I correct about that assumption?
You are very correct.
What do you mean by that?
You know, how to, physical force obviously doesn't work with two older brothers. So, you know, how to manipulate, maybe that's too strong a word,
but you learn how to manage people.
You're exactly right.
Kristen?
So other than managing your brothers, what were you doing between the ages of 8 and 14?
Well, one of the things is I moved from a school where I had been for up until sixth grade to a new school.
And how was the transition?
Rocky at first. I went to a school where I wore a uniform and showed up wearing my uniform plaid skirt and ankle socks to a school that was definitely not like that. So it was a little hard to fit in at first.
How did you learn to fit in?
Making friends, but mainly through sports, I would say.
And what sport did you play?
At that point, it was, you know, anything with a ball.
Mm-hmm. What did you have a favorite?
Yeah, basketball was always my favorite.
And what role did you play on the team?
Guard position.
So as a guard, a lot of times you're known as the showboat. Was that the kind of role you played as a guard on your team?
Not really. More distributing the ball, making sure everybody got involved, kind of the team play aspect of it.
And what about that did you enjoy the most?
Watching actually people grow around me and become better and become confident in themselves. I got a real kick out of that.
Well, what's that have to do with your role as, it says here, your Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Carey International? What did that enjoying people see grow have anything to do with what you're doing nowadays?
I think there's a lot of carryover, rowing in the same boat. Everybody has to have a common goal, and you have to bring out the best in people. They can be very different and have very different skill sets, and you have to recognize that and know how to bring those out in people.
Boy, it sounds like you're a natural team builder. It sounds like your older brothers really helped teach you about how to manage a team, build a team.
Are you telling me I owe them something?
It sounds to me like you work together, Anne.
So you told us you didn't just play sports and build a single team. You actually at one point started a women's sports team. Can you tell us about that?
In college, there was no women's soccer team. I was really into soccer at that point and started a women's soccer club that eventually became a varsity sport.
And what prompted you to want to do that besides the fact that there wasn't a team available?
You know, it was Title IX at the time. There was an opportunity. I saw the opportunity and kind of really ran for it, so to speak.
So you saw some territory that wasn't occupied.
Absolutely.
You jumped in there. How does that translate into what you do as a GC?
Yeah, I guess there is. You know, you have to see for the company where there are opportunities, where can you grow the company, and maybe be a bit of a risk taker and encourage others to kind of go along with an idea.
Interesting. Philip?
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about your childhood and what it was like around the dinner table?
Yeah, it was kind of a traditional around the dinner table, you know, mom, dad, brothers arguing and talking over one another, part Italian, part Polish, you know, so always a lot of talk and always a lot of back and forth.
What was your role?
Probably learning how to be in the argument and how to express myself when you had a lot of other voices going on.
You told us about a loaf of bread.
Yeah, that was a very traditional. Always, you know, a loaf of a stack of white bread in the middle of the table, no matter what the meal was, even if it was spaghetti. So, you know,
and were you,
I kind of think back to that.
Were you all required to be there every night?
Was Absolutely. That was a really big part of the family, being there and everyone talking to one another and catching up on the day.
Wait, what do you think that has anything to do with what you're doing nowadays, the fact that everybody was required to be around the dinner table?
You know, I think it is a lot of, you know, everybody's voice gets heard. Get everybody around the dinner table. Everybody gets their say, or at least learns how to squeeze in their say.
Is that what you're doing nowadays?
Yeah, I think it definitely is.
What do you
is.
Mean? What are you talking about?
Like I said, you know, if you have different personalities, you have to be intuitive enough to figure out, well, maybe that person's really quiet. They're not going to speak up at a big group unless you invite them in
so
some way.
So this is what you do as general counsel, is you try to bring out the best in people?
Exactly.
Philip, what else?
Your kids, can you talk about your kids and growing up around your dinner table?
My husband's a scientist, and so my son has followed in his footsteps. He has a PhD in physics. My daughter is a lot more like me. She's a self-advocate, I would say. And she's a teacher, married to a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Robert.
I was just going to ask, what's your relationship with them and their today?
I just love them to death. So they're in different parts of the country right now, but we see them as often as possible.
What if your kids taught you about being a general counsel?
You know, my son is quiet, my daughter's not, and so, you know, kind of again, the equanimity of making sure everybody gets their voice heard and mm-hmm. gets to say what they want to say and mm-hmm. do what they want to do. It's
Robert,
important.
Didn't you have a question or an idea
yes.
earlier?
Diane, how is the transition from a big company like Freddie Mac to your current job?
Yeah, that was a big transition. So Freddie Mac, I had 35 people working for me, and it was, you know, distributing the work and just more managing. And then at Cary, really getting your hands in. It's me and one other attorney who's awesome, and it's more doing. So not as much managing, more the actual doing.
What's the best part of your day? What do you really enjoy about your day?
You know, probably walking into work with a sticky square of everything I have to accomplish and not getting to any of them because the day just totally turns upside down and you got to do too many other things.
So you're in the middle of it all, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Does that remind you of being involved with that basketball team?
I think that's right. Get the ball to the person that can bring it to the hoop.
So it's not, Kristen, what are you thinking there? What else?
So general counsels are known for being strong and steady. Is there someone in your life that's played that role for you in the past?
You know, probably my husband. We met in middle school and we've fell in love and have been in love ever since. And he's just the bulwark. I mean, he is, you know, just the quiet, you know, great guy behind me, I would say.
And what have you take from him that leads you your team today?
Don't get rattled. Everything basically works out in the end. So, you know, it's all okay. Calm everybody down first and then figure out a plan.
Huh. How about that? You know, this is fascinating. You're the general counsel of a major firm, and it's interesting. It sounds to me like everything you do is about people as opposed to law.
I guess that's probably right. If you don't have the right people, it's not moving forward.
Huh. And what else do you think? What else is on your mind?
You've been at Cary International for a long time. Is that there's something about your personality that keeps you wedded to the place you are?
Yeah, that's probably true. That it probably is my personality. I was at Freddie Mac for 16 years and the government and a law firm before that. You know, I like to see things through, I guess, and I make deep personal relationships with people, so that's a lot of the fun of it.
That's not what you typically hear about attorneys, though. It sounds to me, it's like you're all about the people. It sounds like you really enjoy your job. It sounds like you really enjoy, I guess, working with the other departments. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely. It's really one of the fun pieces of being in-house. Those are not just the people you see when there's a crisis situation. You see them every day in the lunchroom. You're friends with them. And so, you know, you get in early on what decisions need to be made.
Wait. So, as the in-house attorney, you're friendly with, it sounds like this is a real collegial environment where you're involved with the head of marketing and the head of finance and the head of this and the head of that, and you like hanging out with them in the lunchroom. It sounds like you've got some pretty personal relationships there.
I think you know you're doing a good job when people come to you and say, don't tell anybody else, but I think I really screwed up. Can you help me? So they're coming to you before it blows up.
Because they know they feel safe with you.
Exactly.
And they can trust you.
Yep.
It sounds like there's a lot of trust and safety in this business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If they're not coming to the general counsel for help when they think they need help, then something's wrong in the process.
Well, that's not the image that I had. I thought the in-house counsel would be screaming and yelling and suing. It doesn't sound like that's who you are.
Well, I save the screaming and yelling and suing for the opposing side.
Philip, what else are you thinking?
Did you have that relationship with your brothers? Did they come to you and say, don't tell our parents, but I screwed up, and help out?
You know, there's a lot of that right now because my dad is 98 now, going on 99, and we need to pull together. He's still in great shape and still lives alone, but we work with each other, you know, very well to get there.
What did your dad do for a living?
He owned a liquor store for many years and then went into construction.
What'd you learn from your dad that has anything to do with being a good general counsel?
Two things. Real hard work, just good old-fashioned hard work, and being grateful for what you have. I mean, he is just an optimist in many, many
ways. Being grateful for what you've got. What's the website address of Carey International?
CareyInternational.com.
We've been speaking with Diane Ennis, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Carey International. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Wow, it doesn't get better than that. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Constantine Athanas, who's Senior Vice President and General Counsel of an organization known as Davis Construction. Constantine, what is Davis Construction? What are you guys doing?
Davis Construction is a general contractor in the Washington metropolitan area, building the buildings in which you live, work, and play.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We have over 400 employees. It's an employee-based or an employee-owned company.
What do you mean it's an employee-owned company? What are you talking about?
Well, we're an ESOP is the technical name, but the employees own the company, so...
Does that really make a difference?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Because we have a shared mission. The bosses, and, when you turn off the lights at night, you know that saving that penny is going into the bottom line of the company and therefore your own personal bottom line.
So tell me a little bit about your family. What makes your family special?
My family is special in that I think that its broad background, I think, makes it special. That's kind of what I pull on.
Did you tell us that your family is first generation or something like that?
I am first generation, yeah. My father's from Greece and my mother's from Norway.
Uh-huh. Philip?
So being a first generation American, how did that affect your childhood?
Well, I think it was interesting to straddle different worlds. You know, I grew up as, I think, a regular American kid enjoying all the pop culture of America, but I also had these stories from my parents' background to fall back on. I was able to see different cultural perspectives, which I thought was neat.
You also told us you traveled quite a bit.
I did, especially before I had children. I traveled quite a bit. I was lucky and fortunate in that, you know, all of our family members were in Europe, so we were able to, on family vacations, seeing grandma meant going to Greece or going to Norway.
What did you take from the traveling that helped you in your job today?
Well, you know, there's frustrations with traveling, so getting over the frustrations of getting where you need to be, but once you get there, I mean, it's a wide open world, you know, to be able to experience these other foods and people, and especially when you have a landing pad, which is the family on the other side. They can take you and show you things that as a normal tourist you wouldn't get to see.
Uh-huh. Jesse, what was your thought? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I get the sense that you gravitated to a family-centric company because of your immigration story with your family. You know, can you tell us more about that and what comforts that's given you?
Well, Davis definitely is a family-oriented company. I mean, the success of one is the success of all. I mean, that's one of our mottos, and it's got a great culture.
What was the motto? Give me that again.
Success for one is success for all.
Is that really a motto with a company?
It is, actually. If you look at our website, our actual motto is building success for all. We are a construction company, so we're building success for all.
That's fascinating to me, because earlier when we were talking to you in the green room, you really gave me the sense that, you know, your family, you felt sort of alone with the family here because your parents were immigrants. And it's fascinating how this has shown up in the environment you've chosen to work in, which is an employee-owned business. Let's see. Anne, what are you thinking?
So speaking of family, you have one brother?
I have one brother, yes, and I work with him.
You work with your brother. So the two of you are close?
We are close, yeah. And in fact, not only do we work two floors apart from each other, but we live about 2 miles apart from each other.
Have you always been close? Were you close growing up?
We were close in different ways. You know, we fought a lot as youngsters, so we were close with the fist and the face. But, you know, it's developed into a different closeness over time.
How are you different than your brother?
Well, my brother's much more technical-minded in the sciences. So he's an engineer, and I'm the lawyer. So his background is more sports-type stuff and outgoing, and mine was more arts-type stuff.
What kind of arts did you participate in?
Student drama, literary journal, student newspaper.
So you like stories and performing?
Love stories. Love stories.
What do you love about them?
The variety of stories and the messages that you can convey through stories, the passion of stories. Everything is based on stories.
Diana, did you have some thoughts about stories or something like that?
I did. You've developed the Leadership Academy. You want to talk a little bit about that and how that came to be?
So the Leadership Academy is something that has been developed through the Association of Corporate Counsel, and specifically the National Capital Region, and it was meant to help attorneys who have not had the benefit of leadership training each bring stories, really, of how to become a lawyer from other lawyers. So it was developed by lawyers for lawyers and specifically for in-house counsel.
What kind of stories would you like to see come out of that?
Well, stories of success coming from different backgrounds. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get to the positions we're in, and if sharing those stories and sharing the lessons learned, I mean, there's tons of lessons learned, both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm. Philip, what else do you think?
So speaking of stories, what was your favorite role that you played growing up in the arts?
That would probably have to be Hamlet in Hamlet.
And why did you enjoy Hamlet so much?
Well, probably because I was the star. It was a lot of lines to learn, but, you know, it was the most physical part as well.
Yeah, in the green room, you talked a little bit about some other stuff.
You know, getting sword play, that kind of thing, that makes the role more interesting than the quick walk-on part.
So how does that translate in being a GC?
Well, you know, Hamlet was somewhat behind the scenes, too, in seeing what was going on. But we are not a lawyer-forward company, but we do... you know, the legal department spends a lot of time working with the other groups to make sure that we can promote our message and get our work done in the most effective way. So I don't want to say pulling the strings from behind the scenes because it's very collaborative, but, you know, we all play our part, and I get to play a great part, I think, at the company.
Are there times you have to throw swords?
There are times, but usually those swords are at the other side. But even then, we are really looking for solutions. We, for a construction company, we have so little litigation, so few disputes. We really try to work with our subcontractors and our owners to successfully complete a project and move on to the next one.
Kristen, what are you thinking?
So being in the drama club and being in the theater, there's a lot of personality and stories, if you've mentioned. How did that fit for you growing up?
Well, I think my background is unique in that, you know, both having the Greek family and the Norwegian family, Greek mythology, Norwegian mythology, they are the underpinnings of a lot of contemporary stories. So, I mean, I had that growing up, and I think that's fascinating. And I was very much into mythology as a child, and it's carried through now to being able to tell these stories.
And what kind of stories do you tell as a general counsel?
Well, I think there's two different kind of stories. There's the stories you tell to teach, and we do a lot of teaching at the company to make sure that everybody understands what they're doing. And then there are the stories that you tell to convey information as an advocate. And so we do have certain disputes, and you need to explain in the right way why you're in the right.
And when you're fostering your team or the employees at your company, what kind of stories are you telling them to get them, uplifting them every day?
Well, I think giving them context, I think, is the best way to tell a story. You know, I look at it from my paralegal's perspective. He sees a very small piece of an overall issue, but for him to be inspired, he needs to understand the entirety of the issue. So I think we spend the time working through and showing where his piece fits into the greater whole, and that actually helps him even think outside the box because he understands the greater purpose than his specific assignment.
So it sounds to me like this travel really helped you appreciate we're all the same, we're all equal. And the storytelling really helps you build the team because you're coming at everybody the same way, trying to help them see the big picture and work together. Well, what's the website address of this organization?
DavisConstruction.com.
Let me have that one more time.
DavisConstruction.com.
We've been speaking with Constantine Athanas, who's the Senior Vice President and General Counsel of Davis Construction here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Great job.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jesse Rabin, who's general counsel of an organization known as the Common Application. Jesse, what is this Common Application? What are you guys doing?
So the Common Application is an online college application platform. We're a nonprofit representing more than 800 member colleges and universities, and we're committed to access, equity, and integrity in the college admissions process. There's over a million students that come through our application process to apply to schools, but there's also over a million that start an application process but actually never do apply for schools. And so we're really interested in looking at those students and why students aren't applying and moving towards higher education.
What attracted you to this gig?
I think I've always been attracted to service and the nonprofit world. I've been in the nonprofit world for over 20 years. And I would probably have to go with my father, being somebody who was always kind, empathetic, and focused on serving.
So, started out way back when you were involved in litigation, and you've switched over many years ago to public service or nonprofit. Talk a little bit about your dad and how that affected you.
Sure. So my dad's mantra in many ways was give with no regard for the get. And to me, what that has always meant is walking by somebody's doorstep and dropping off, some homemade muffins for them, for instance, but not looking for a thank you card or for any sense of a thank you or recognition. And so I've really tried to live that, and I never found that in litigation. I always found litigation to be a little too adversarial. There wasn't any bridge building, no relationship building, and it was more important for me to build relationships and work in an environment where people are helping each other.
What did your dad do that you to pick this up from him?
Yeah, what did your dad do?
What was his occupation?
So he was a doctor, and so obviously his job was really serving people and making sure that people were could get better.
How did this charity thing show up for you as a kid?
So as a kid, I was involved in a lot of different youth groups, and we would go out and do things for different parts of our community.
Like what?
Whether it was raising money through selling candy bars, raking leaves for elderly people, just doing little communal service events.
This is really a significant part of you, isn't it? This being involved with the community, giving back, serving.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Uh-huh. How interesting. And?
How many brothers or sisters do you have?
So I have two older brothers who are twins and an older sister.
So you're the youngest of four.
I'm the youngest of four.
So how did that pecking order impact your personality and how you approach your life and your job?
So I know from an early age, I was always spending time trying to push myself out of the pack. I was always known as my brother's little brother. And so from a very early age, I knew I needed to kind of forge my own independence. I did that by going to school up north where I didn't know anybody. I was born and raised in North Carolina, and I started my own company after trying law firms for a couple years, and now as general counsel of the Common Application, I feel like I'm again independent.
And you didn't choose to follow your dad's path and go into medicine. So what drove you into law? Was it just to do something independent, or was there something about the field?
I think the part of the field that really attracted me was being able to serve people, answer questions, build relationships, and solve problems for people.
Constantine?
So your mom's a therapist and your dad's a doctor. What was it like sitting around with your siblings for a family meal?
So it was always interesting when I could get my voice in. There was a lot, I think, from my mom's side, a lot of questioning, a lot of follow-up questioning. Yes, certainly there was the, you know, how do you feel about this and how do you feel about that? But my mom was always trying to instigate us to talk amongst ourselves and question each other and push each other.
Robert, didn't you have a question?
Yeah. What are the things about being in-house that attracted you as opposed to being in the law firm?
Sure. So in in-house, you're constantly working on building relationships. You have to have a good relationship with your CEO. And equally as important, you have to have a trusting relationship with staff. They need to know that they can come to you with any question. I never felt that way in law firms. I always felt that I was a cog of part of a larger question that was out there. And that didn't interest me. I want to be in a situation where I've got all the knowledge and I'm working with the principals to find a solution.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, what are you thinking?
What characteristics do you bring from your father to your job every day?
So I know I bring kindness and empathy and the sense of serving. My dad is and was always somebody who sought out friendships, built relationships, and worked to solve problems. And I know that I bring that every day when I show up at work.
And how about your mother? What do you bring? What characteristics do you bring from her?
So she instilled in me a sense of curiosity of an education and always wanting to learn. So I, you know, for instance, I leave every meeting with a final question of, is there anything else I need to know? Anything else I should be informed about? And is there anything I could have done better? And please point me to places where I can read up on some of the issues that we discussed.
How about as a father? What do you bring from your own children?
So as a father, I'm in a role where I feel like I'm always teaching my kids, trying to show them how to do the right thing. You know, with one of my daughters, I have 15 to 20 minutes in the car every morning with her as I bring her to school. And I try to, in between songs of Kids Bop, teach her about different lessons of life and how to handle interactions at school and talk about how we can help the homeless and then basically just general life lessons and things that I experienced. The other day, actually, she even looked at me in a quizzical way and said, "I cannot believe you were once a kid," which was kind of striking to me.
Philip?
What role did faith play when you were growing up?
So faith was very much a part of growing up. I grew up in a conservative household, and you know, we were it was center in terms of always being at the dinner table of celebrating all the different holidays that were there, but also in terms of the youth groups I was part of, it instilled a sense of serving the community and being present.
And how does that carry over to what you're doing today?
I think the notion of serving and also of showing up, of being present. I feel like, you know, the nonprofits that I have worked for are nonprofits that show up for other people, and that's what I really like about it.
Ian, what are you thinking?
What's the best part of your day?
The best part of my day is solving the problems of the common application, as well as and I'll just digress for a second. Every single day we get an update as to the number of students that have created an account in our system and have actually submitted applications to colleges, and I get to watch that number grow every single day. I wait for it to come out. I even get it on the weekends, and the moment I get it, I show it to my wife, and I'm like, look, we're at 1.2 million. We're at 1.3 million.
What do you wait for?
I wait for the statistics of kids that are applying, submitting applications to school and coming onto our platform to create an account to apply to
school. Why is that so important to you?
because I honestly believe, and I get this from my mother, that through education you open so many doors in your life, and you have so many opportunities from education, whether it's picking up a book, reading a pamphlet, listening to a coach, or going to college. You are constantly moving forward.
How did your mother influence you into your career?
I think it's she actually was the one who, when I said to her, I'm thinking of law school or business school, she said, go to law school. You can influence more people.
Mm-hmm. And the way you're influencing people is not through beating them up in litigation. It's through helping them get educated.
Helping them get educated. Mm-hmm. Relationship building.
Didn't you mention, even though you're the youngest of four, you ended up playing some leadership roles when you were in school?
Yeah, so I was president of my high school. I was on the varsity basketball team. And
what was your role on the basketball team?
So I was the center, believe it or not.
What's the role of the center on the basketball team?
So I always viewed my role as almost the ballast in the ship. I'm taking orders from the point guard, but I'm keeping up the back, and I'm the last stop when somebody's coming to try and support.
What's the parallel between that and what your role is nowadays as general counsel at the Common Application?
I feel like I'm the ballast in the ship when I'm talking with my CEO, and the question that she has for me, the answer is not going to necessarily be the easiest, but I need to deliver it in a way that she can understand it and hear me.
So you do see a similarity between some of the leadership roles you took when you were in school and the role you're playing nowadays as general counsel.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's interesting. You think usually when you hear about attorneys, you hear about fighting and litigation and rotten stuff, but that's certainly not your personality, is it?
No, I'm much more laid back. I would rather work towards a solution and stay far away from litigation.
Well, it's also fascinating, you know, that statistic you're looking forward to every single day, which is how many kids are using the platform, because you actually think education is a good thing. You know, it doesn't sound like you're a fighting kind of guy. What's the website address of this organization?
Sure, it's commonapp.org.
Let me have that one more time.
Commonapp.org.
We've been speaking with Jesse Rabin, General Counsel of the Common Application, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Boy, wasn't that adrenaline?
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Robert Lavitt, who is general counsel of an organization known as SoFi. What is SoFi, Robert?
SoFi is a six-year-old financial services firm based in San Francisco. Our goal is to help our members, we call our customers members, get their money right by offering them the best products for saving, investing, and borrowing.
How large or how small is the organization?
We've grown to 1,500 people.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Right outside Philadelphia.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have two younger sisters.
Philip?
Yeah, you told us earlier you were very active in sports growing up. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I've always played tennis competitively. I was one of the top players in the Middle States area, and I'm still nationally ranked player in seniors. I played goalie also in soccer in high school.
Yeah, so those are very individualized sports. It's all about how you do. Talk about how that helps you as a GC and how that translates.
I think it helps you as a GC to be being competitive in sports and understanding kind of the risks and being able to adjust strategies. Playing an individual sport like tennis, you constantly have to do course correction, change your tactics, especially when you're playing a better player.
Yeah, you told me earlier you used a phrase, you don't like to what?
I don't like to lose.
Right. And how do you deal? You can't always win. So.
Right. It's very tough when you're a kid and you're, you know, competitive. Losing would always eat me up. But as you get older over time, you realize it's just a game and you move on. So I think you adjust with age.
Your coaches recognize something beyond just your athletic talent. Talk about what they asked you to do.
Sure. My tennis coach in high school asked me to take over the tennis program for the county I lived in, which at a young age was a great experience in managing people, making sure, you know, we had the right people, that we produced the right educational content for the individuals who took the clinics. So it was a great experience.
Diane?
Choosing the right people and training them, how does that translate to be a GC?
Well, as a GC, you have to build up a team. When I was the general counsel at Sallie Mae, I had a large group of about 30 attorneys and 75 total people. And you have to pick the right talent and meld them so that it's a cohesive organization.
And do you have any evidence that you were successful in that?
I'd like to think I am, because I've had 9 people who work for me become GCs of other companies, which I really take a lot of pride in.
Wow. All right.
And now you're at an early stage startup, which is very different from what you were doing before. What's that like?
Nothing can prepare you for an early stage startup. I was one of the first 20 people at SoFi, and we grew the business, you know, from that to 1,500 people to having a over $4 billion value. You have to play multiple roles, and you have to get your hands dirty. So you can't stand on ceremony. So it's tough when you've been at a big organization. You have all the support. You don't have it in a startup, and you really have to do the work.
Jesse?
So speaking of support, how has your wife influenced and supported you in your career?
My wife has been a great influence. She's had an amazing career. She's been the CEO of a big chamber of commerce and a trade association, and is a Korn Ferry. And she's my sounding board. So I definitely attribute a lot of my success to her. We'll, you know, at the end of the day, talk through what happened. She'll give me great advice.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, what do you think?
Tell me about your parents. What did they do?
My mom was primarily a homemaker, but she also worked for my grandfather's meat market as a bookkeeper. And my dad was a business person. He had his own business and then worked for companies and then became a business broker.
What was your role at the meat market with your mother?
When I was a kid, a teenager, I would work on the weekends and I'd work behind the counter in my grandfather's store. It was a family business. My uncles worked there in downtown Philadelphia.
So you had to work a lot with the customers and figuring out what they need. How does that transition to what you're doing today?
Exactly. It's a great transition because today you support multiple roles in the company. We have a 20-person management team, and they all have needs, and you've got to prioritize and meet their needs as a general counsel.
Your dad ran some businesses, and you told me earlier that there was something you were looking for in going to law school that you wanted in your career.
Yeah, we had some financial difficulties, you know, when I was a kid, and that taught me, really, I wanted to be financially independent, and I thought law school was a good vehicle for achieving that. It gave you a lot of optionality to go into business later, which I didn't do. I've been a lawyer my whole career, but that was primarily the thing that drove me.
And today, in your role as GC, all you do is legal work, right?
No, I mean, I played multiple roles in the company beyond the legal role. I started the business development group.
Hold on. You're the general counsel. You started the business development group?
I did.
What's that tell us about your personality?
Well, I think, you know, it shows that I have an entrepreneurial streak.
Thank you. What do you mean?
I was looking for ways that the company could advance, and it dawned on me, we were providing student loan refinancing, and I said, law firms have a great captive customer base. They have all these young associates with lots of debt. We had a great product. We're saving them money. And so the way we launched our business development was going to law firms saying, we'll provide this product to your employees at a discount.
So where'd this creative entrepreneurial streak come from?
I think it started early on in my youth. I used to run, we used to run a carnival. So I was always very entrepreneurial.
What do you mean we used to run a carnival?
My sister and I would.
Where was this?
This was when I was a teenager.
What was your role in the carnival?
We just organized it. We came up with the games. We charged admission.
So you ran a carnival, what was the difference? What did your sister do different than you?
My sister has amazing artistic ability. I have none. So we joke, I got all the athletic genes, she got the artistic
genes. But in terms of doing the carnival, were you the one organizing other the kids, or were you coming up with...
I was the driving force.
What's the similarity between you running that carnival and what you're doing nowadays with SoFi?
I'm not sure I see the connection. I think it's so far.
How about the driving force, like the business development guy who's supposed to be the general counsel?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think, I think what attracted me to SoFi was the ability to have an outsized role in a new organization.
You certainly do. What's the website address of this organization, SoFi?
SoFi.com, SOFI.com.
Uh-huh. We've been speaking with Robert Lavid, who's general counsel of SoFi here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Constantine Athanas, senior vice president and general counsel of Davis, followed, or actually led by Diane Ennis, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary, Carrier International, Jesse Rabin, General Counsel of the Common Application, and most recently, Robert Lavid, General Counsel of SoFi. I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Phil Fagan, Kristen Jones, and Ann Spiegel from the law firm of Polsonelli, for giving me a hand structure in the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. What is the website address for Polsonelli?
Polsonelli.com.
How do you spell that?
Polsinelli.com.
And don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. We nailed that. Hey!